Come on, we worship you. We sing the greatest praise to your name. Come on, did you come to celebrate with us? Let's start this say, hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you all our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Come on, let's raise our praise to the King. Say, you are the King. Say,
glory.
You are the King.
You are the King
of glory.
Glory.
You are the King.
You are the King
of glory.
Glory.
You are the King.
You are the King
of glory.
Glory.
And I will praise you. Come on, did you come to celebrate the birth of our King? Can we shout hallelujah? Slip it up again, say hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you praise.
Hallelujah.
It belongs to you. You're worthy of it. Come on, let's say you are the King, say
you are.
You are the King.
You are the King
of glory. Yeah.
Of glory.
Jesus, you are the King. Did you come to praise him? Did you come to lift him up? We say, say, oh.
King.
even when things don't look the way we thought they would or the way we expected them to. We look in the face of every giant and we will shout that our God reigns forever, and we'll give him praise and say, hallelujah! No matter what it looks like, the word says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. No matter what it looks like, we'll say, hallelujah! Come on, just for about 10 more seconds, can we lift up a hallelujah praise to our God? Things may not be the way you expected, but you're alive. You're still standing. You're still alive. You're still standing. So say hallelujah. Hey. Woo! We worship you, Son of God. Hey. We give you praise. We give you honor because you deserve it, Jesus. We worship you. Come on, raise this with us. The Son of God is lifted high.
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 The Son of God is lifted.
The Son of God is
lifted. Come on, if you can't lift, just clap those hands like this. We worship Jesus. Come on, let's raise it right here. We worship you, God. See, the Son of God is magnified.
The Son of God.
The Son of God is magnified.
The Son of God is magnified.
Come on, sing it to him. See, the Son of God is magnified.
The Son of God is magnified.
See, the Son of God is magnified. We sing, oh.
The Son of God is glorified.
glorious day. Jesus, the Son of God, is lifted high. Wow, you're wonderful and glorious. You're Jesus, you're wonderful, you're glorious, you're Jesus, say, you're wonderful, hey, you're glorious, you're Jesus, hey, Jesus, you're wonderful, you're glorious.
From, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to lift Jesus up higher. I need you to lift him up in the comments. I need you to lift him up in your living room. I need you to lift him up in your man cave. I need you to do yourself a favor and lift him up. I love the song that says, I will lift my eyes to the hills where my help comes from, because my help comes from the Lord. Jesus said, if I be lifted up above the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. You know, I fly a lot, almost every weekend, almost every other week. Seems like I'm on a plane. And one of the most amazing things you will ever experience when you're flying is how objects change the higher you get. One of the strangest things about flying is you could be on the ground and a house just be so big. But when you get on a plane, that big old house, the higher you go, the smaller it looks. I mean, you could be staring at a tower and it looks so huge, but soon as you get on a plane, the higher you go, the smaller the tower will look. And what I'm saying to you right now is that maybe there's a problem you're staring at and it looks huge. I mean, it looks like a tower. It's just staring you in the face. And Jesus said, can you do me a favor? He said, can you go up a little bit higher? The reason why that problem is so big is because you too small, you too little, you too low. But if you can just lift up your hands and open up your mouth and give me praise. That thing that was big yesterday is going to look tiny tomorrow. That thing that was big a second ago is going to look like an ant next week. God says the higher you go, the smaller it gets. The higher you go, the smaller it gets. The higher you go, the smaller it gets. So lift them up. Take your worship higher. I need you to take your praise higher. I need you to take that thing that you have on the inside of you, your faith. I need you to take it higher, because the higher you go, then the smaller it gets. I said the higher you go, then the smaller it gets. The higher your praise goes, the smaller depression gets. The higher your praise goes, the smaller anxiety gets. The higher your praise go, 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 the higher your praise go. So I need you to put in the comments, I'm going to the next level. Come on, say I'm going to another level. Come on, say I'm going to another level. My perspective of Jesus is going to another level. My song is going to another level. My prayer life is going to another level. My discipline is going to another level. My giving is going to another level. Come on, my worship is going to another level. The way I see Jesus is going to another level. My relationship with him is going to another level. Because the higher I go, then the smaller it gets. I said the higher I go, then the smaller it gets. Because the bigger he is, then the smaller it is. I said the bigger he is, and then the smaller it gets. I said the bigger he is, then the smaller it gets. Hey. So I'm getting ready to pray for you. Come on, I'm praying that you're going to another level. Father, in the name of Jesus, world overcomers, we're going to another level. In the name of Jesus, we're declaring that everybody who's tuned in, they're a part of WOCC Global. And we're declaring right now that every area of your life is going to another level. Because the higher you go, then the smaller the enemy will get. And if the enemy looks real big right now, it is because you are too equal to him. You too low. That's why he's not under your feet. How can he be under your feet when you're looking him eye to eye? The reason why he looks so big is because you're too low. But God says, when you worship me, I will take you to another level. And the higher you go in me, come on, the he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What if I told you that the secret place is up here? What if I told you that the secret place, that you don't hide low? God hides you in the higher place. Yeah, God hides you where the enemy can't get you. God hides you at another level. And God is getting ready to hide you at a whole nother level. And the devil who used to disrupt you, the devil who used to mess with you, the devil who used to go ahead and ridicule you, then guess what? He got to get a little bit taller to reach where you're going now. He's got to climb a little taller to get where you're going now. Because God is taking you to another level. God is taking you to another level. I dare you to prophesy another level. This is not it for me. There's another level. This is not it for me. There's another level. So I'm declaring that, Lord, we are going to celebrate and we're going to worship you, because we recognize that the bigger you are in us, the smaller that it is. And so we pray now, as you talk to your disciples, to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever. I need everybody to say amen right where you are. Come on, why don't you go ahead in the comments, put the hand raised emojis. Why don't you put the fire emojis? Why don't you go ahead and just put an emoji in there to let me know that we've been talking to you. Come on, tell somebody I'm looking a little bit higher than I did a second ago. Come on, tell somebody I'm feeling a little bit better than I was a second ago. A second ago, that problem was looking real big, but tell them it's looking small now in Jesus' name. Listen, we want to welcome you to World Overcomers. We calling it WOCC Global because we have people who are watching us right here in the Durham and Raleigh area of North Carolina. But my God, we are experiencing exponential growth in every area of our church. And what we are recognizing is that we have people who are watching us right now from India and from Ghana, and people who are watching us right now from Texas and from Cali and from Boston. We appreciate the fact that you consider Pastor Andy your pastor. And so that makes us family. We are part of the WOCC Global family. And I want to welcome you. I'm one of the associate pastors here, Pastor Brian. And I have the privilege right now of talking about giving and ushering us into a presence and a time of giving. Do me a favor. The information should be right there on your screen. Wherever it is, I need you to click the link. I need you to decide that you are going to give to the work of the kingdom. I need you to decide today that I'm going to give. This church is filled with tithers. I'm a tither. If you're a tither, I need you to put in the comments, I am a tither. Go on ahead and just shout, testify. And I'm a tither. That means we give 10%, everything that the Lord gives us. When we get a paycheck, we give 10% to God, not because we have to, but because we get to. And we recognize the awesome privilege it is to give. I need you to text WOONLINE to 77977 or utilize PushPay right now. I'm a recurring giver. I don't even want to think about God's money. I just want God to get his money, so I release it and let it go. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:25 that a generous person will prosper, and he who refreshes others will be refreshed. Let me say that again. I believe it's Proverbs 11:25. Y'all fact check me, okay? That a generous person will be prosperous, and that those who refresh others will be refreshed. I believe this, that when you give, you make room for God to give you more. Let me say that again. I believe when you give, you make room for God to give you more. And this Christmas season, we recognize that me and my wife, we're buying all these presents for my kids. And I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. And so, I mean, I'm a generous daddy, okay? I'm a generous father. And so I just love racking up on the gifts, racking up on the presents. And every Christmas, we have our kids go into their room, and we have them gather some of the toys that they've had all year, some of the toys that maybe they don't even play with. And we start to tell them to pack it up and give it to charity. And every single time, my kids kind of have this struggle because they're like, I don't want to let go of these toys. I love my toys, and I just need these toys. And they kind of get this little attitude, and they're just kind of struggling. And I'm just saying, no, come on, we got to give, and you got to be generous, and you got to give back. And come on, man, let's go ahead and do the Christ thing. And my kids do it, but they're struggling. And the reason why they're struggling is because their focus is on what they're losing. They have no idea that coming behind these toys, daddy and mommy got a whole bunch of new toys that we're getting ready to bring in the room. But we can't bring the new toys into the room until they get rid of some of those old ones. What if God is asking you to give because when you give, it just creates more room for him to give back to you, for you to give, because Proverbs 11:25 says that a generous person will prosper, and he who refreshes others, God will refresh. Maybe when you start giving, God will refresh you. Maybe when you start being generous to others, God will begin to be generous to you. And even as you give and as you tithe and as you sow, I really believe what you're creating is a flow for heaven to pour back into you. That as you're giving to the work of the kingdom, as you're giving to your local church, as you're sowing and tithing and offerings, and as you're giving to the Lord, that the Lord starts to flow. Come on, I want a heavenly flow. I want a financial flow. Yeah, I want a flow to go through my life. God, I'm not going to hold on to this thing. I'm going to release this into your hands, because I know that when I release it into your hands, God starts giving back to you. Come on, when you give, God starts giving back to you. And maybe it's time for you to make some more room. Maybe it's time for you to say, God, I'm giving in this offering to make room in my life. Because God, I know there's more that you have for me. And I don't want to lose out on the new because I am so addicted and tied to the old. So I'm getting ready to pray for you now that you will be a flow, that there will be a financial flow released in your life as you catch the revelation of giving. And as you recognize that the Lord has gifts that he's getting ready to pour into you. But he's saying, come on, as I'm pouring in gifts, you do it. And I know you like my kids. You're saying, God, you got to put it down. And I'm saying, trust your Father, because your Father got your back. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying right now that you would cover those who are tuning in right now and those who are giving in this offering. Come on, I sense the Spirit of the Lord. They are giving. Some people are tithing for the very first time. Some people have been moved by the worship. They've been moved by this moment that we are in right now. God, I'm asking as they sow that, Lord, you begin to bless them, that you begin to cover them. And Lord, as we make room in our finances for you, do the miraculous, do the incredible. Stretch us and push us and make more, create more in this season of our lives. Lord, we thank you for it now. And we believe that it's done according to your will and your purpose. We're blessed and highly favored. In Jesus' name we pray. I need everybody to say amen. God bless you as you give. Come on, WOCC, God bless you as you give. One more time, God bless you as you give. There's a word in the house specifically for you. Let's tune in and see what's happening in our church. And then the word of the Lord is going to come.
World Overcomers United. Listen, Christmas time is here. It's time for joy. It's time for cheer. Listen, Thursday night, we are showing you. We are bringing it back to you. The World Overcomers Christmas experience for 2019. What an incredible array of acting, singing, dancing. It was incredible. And we're going to give you the behind the scenes take on it. It's going to be fire. Please tune in.
And then on Friday, we actually, with worship and production and creative, have put together a bunch of original music videos that we've shot and created around Raleigh and Durham. And we're going to show you that as part of a Christmas special. A lot of cool things happening. So make sure you tune in Friday, 9 a.m., 11:30 a.m., 7 p.m. on our Facebook and our YouTube. Be there.
Merry Christmas.
I'm just a placeholder.
Not away from thy presence. Please don't take your spirit from me. Anybody glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Anybody glad the house of the Lord has come to you? Anybody ready to look at the word of God together? I know I am. I trust you've praised and sung. I trust you've given worship the Lord. If you're with us for the first time, just let us know. Just say something right in the comments. Say first time visitor. I know we got people watching from literally around the world. And I, you know, sometimes I get into trouble. I think I said this last week, a couple of weeks ago, trying to say where folk are watching from, wherever you may be, at whatever time it is. Some of you may be watching in the morning where you are, my God. But for those of us in America, It's Wednesday night. Hallelujah. And we're doing a devotional thing. It's a whole new thing that has happened as a result of the whole COVID-19 insanity. My God, isn't it amazing that there's some good that's come out of the negative? My God, there's some blessing that comes out of the challenge. There's life that comes after the pain and after the crucifixion. There's a resurrection. Can I get a witness? And so this is something new we're doing. And it's become something that people are just excited about it. I'm glad you're with us tonight. Wherever you may be, please share it with somebody. And if you're a first-time visitor, just put it in the comments. Somebody will reach out to you. And I'm so conscious of your time. And I know it's Wednesday night, and you've probably been working and out or home all day, and you're getting the kids down. I just want us to study the scriptures together. Quite honestly, we ought to do devotionals a lot. But I know we don't do them as much as we ought. We don't pray as much as we ought. We don't worship as much as we ought. We don't sing as much as we ought. We don't give as much as we ought. We don't serve as much as we ought. But his mercy endures forever. He has done marvelous things, and his mercy endures forever. And so I'm always saying, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Take these few minutes, God, and multiply them supernaturally to the upbuilding of your kingdom. So let's look at the word of God together tonight. And I've got 33 minutes on my clock here, and I'm going to start it right now. Let's look at the scriptures together. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to, we're going to look at three passages of scripture really quickly. The first passage is Matthew chapter 22, okay? And I'm just going to, for the sake of time, because my clock is already running, I'm going to jump right in and read the passage, a very familiar passage of scripture. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 35, it says, one of the teachers, one of the Pharisees, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, he said, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And in verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Familiar passage of scripture. Let me show you another one that's familiar. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. I'm going to tie them all together. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus is talking. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, this is after he's been resurrected. This is while he's walking amongst them, after he's back from the dead. On one of those occasions, while he was with them, he was eating with them, and he gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then my last passage is Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 and 11. And I'll just flip right there. Proverbs 9, verse 10 and 11. And Proverbs 9, I know it, but I want to quote it. I want to read it from the NIV. But Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 and 11 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me, your days will be many and years will be added to your life. Title of my message tonight is Love, Fear, Need Him. Love, Fear, Need Him. Bow your head, let me pray for you. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak, Lord, just now. Some wonderful truth that you'd have for us to see. God, we've looked at three passages of scripture, three familiar passages of scripture. And as we do some devotional study tonight, God, tie them together and bind us together with cords that can never be broken. Even though we're across the airways, bind us together. Even though we're across continents, bind us together. Even though we're across generations, bind us together. Even though we may even be across cultures, bind us together with a cord of love and knowledge and understanding of the wisdom of your scriptures. Have your way in us tonight. Kingdom of God come, will of God be done in Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. Love, fear, need him. If I can draw your attention to Proverbs chapter 9, 10 and 11, and I don't know how you were raised, but I was raised by some Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, holiness, saints of the Most High God, went to church all the time. They made me memorize scripture before I even remember. There's scriptures I know that I don't remember. I don't remember memorizing them. Half the knowledge I have of the Bible, I can barely take credit for it. I wish I had a witness. Half this stuff, I know this stuff in the Bible. I may not even necessarily know where it's found. I've gotten way more familiar with it as I've been called to communicate it. I still don't know it as well as my daddy knows it. Man, my daddy knows that book inside and out. I know the book, but I don't know it like that generation, because that generation was raised on memorization. Our generation, the Xer generation, we were taught a little bit more critical thinking. They were taught rote memorization. My daddy knows that book, and he was determined to make me know the book, so I know the book. But back to my point, this passage here, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see me looking at you right here in the screens? I don't have to look at the Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. This passage, it not only did my daddy teach it to me, but this concept, I read three scriptures to you. The first one was Proverbs 9, in which it talked about the fear of the Lord. I could contend that the Old Testament and the Word of God, particularly in the Old Testament, and most of us, the way that we were raised in church, we were raised with a great big healthy dose of the fear of the Lord. Fear is what we were taught. Here, the word is fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, so that your wisdom is prompted, inspired, seeded, started by this fear that you have of God. Fear you gonna go to hell. Fear you gonna bust head wide open. Fear you gonna miss the city. Fear that you ain't saved. Fear that he's coming like a thief in the night. Fear that you'll lose your favor. Fear that you'll lose your blessing. Fear that God is looking and he's got. Fear that God don't like ugly and you old and ugly. So I rebuke a fear that something horrible will happen. Fear that you'll reap what you sow. Fear that what goes around comes around. It ain't even the Bible, but you think it's in there. Fear that you will reap. Fear that what you did to others will come on you. Fear that God is watching. Fear that you won't hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Fear. Fear. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord, my soul to keep. If I die before that my wake, I pray my Lord, my soul to take. Because I'm scared. Scared to die. Scared to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what I've done in his body, whether it was good or bad. Who am I talking to tonight? The fear of the Lord is what we were taught. I read the second passage. The first passage I read was Matthew chapter 22, in which they come to Jesus and they say, what's the greatest commandment? Here we have a group that are experts in the law. They're experts in the Mosaic law. They're experts in the Levitical law. They're experts in the Old Testament and the fear of the Lord. And they ask Jesus, what's the thing we should be the most scared about? What is the thing that we're talking about? Commandments. We're not talking about suggestions. We're talking about commandments. Hey, Jesus, you know that God up there is scaring us half to death. Just tell us, what must we do the work that God requires? What do we have to do to escape God's wrath? What is the commandment? Let boil it down. There's so much. What's the greatest one? And Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And all of the law and the prophets hang on that commandment to love the Lord your God. So the Old Testament is establishing the fear of the Lord, the New Testament, and Jesus in particular says, yeah, fearing him is a beginning, but you got to love him. Then in Acts chapter 1, I read Jesus is eating with them, and he says on one occasion while he's eating with them, he's saying, listen, don't y'all go nowhere. Don't y'all do another thing. I know I've died, I've been resurrected, and I know I've called y'all all back. Peter, I pulled you in here and told you feed my lambs, and I know we're eating together, but I want you to know that there's something that you need. It's called the Holy Spirit. There's a baptism that's coming that you need. There are gifts that are coming that you need. So you can make an argument that Jesus establishes the love of God in the Gospels, and then the Holy Spirit is given in Acts. And now we see the building of the church, and we come to the understanding that we need the Lord. We need him. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless me now. I need him to empower me. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's not for you to know the dates and times, Jesus says. Father has said by his own authority. But look, you're going to receive power. In other words, there's something you need that you don't have right now. The Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to give you some stuff you need. The Comforter's going to come, and he's going to remind you of some stuff, because I want to use you, but I can't use you the way you are. There's things that you need. You're needy. And I'm saying all of that to say that these three passages, I read them together tonight to say that in essence, our relationship with God, there's the love of God. And I put the love first because the word says that we can speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but if we have not love, we're a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. That we can have faith that moves mountains. We can sacrifice everything. We can give our body to the flames. We can understand mysteries and prophecies and all knowledge. But if we have not love, we're nothing. We gain nothing. That love is the greatest thing. Now abides these three, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these being love. I put love first, even though I can make an argument that fear was established first, and fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But I put love in is because Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And when you have the love of God, it adds a balance to the fear, and it adds a balance to the need that you don't have without the love. Jesus said, I've come to destroy the works of the devil and to establish the church. And for all of us who are trying to be a part of the church, for all of us who are trying to be in this relationship with God, for all of us who realize that Christ came to be a bridge to a relationship with God, that we'll have life and that more abundantly, we have to realize that our relationship with God is a love, need, fear. It's a love, fear, need. It's three legs. It's like this tripod right here. I think I shared this on a Sunday morning, but it's just good to share it here in this devotional study. I could really sit down and just unpack it and really talk about it for just a minute, and I got 20 minutes left. But this tripod stands firm because of the three legs that is there. And the way it's constructed, I can't take one of the legs off. I wish I could. I can make it taller, but it's got these three legs, and the three legs keep it steady. I would contend those three legs are love and fear and need. I'm not saying you don't have a relationship with God without one of them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there were people that had relationship with God that was mostly based on fear. I don't ever remember hearing Abraham telling God he loves him. I think he had faith and it was counted to him as righteousness. I know Abraham was called God's friend, but I've studied Abraham. I'm a faith teacher. I don't see this great, big, huge love relationship. I don't see this huge prayer life. It doesn't mean that they don't have it. It doesn't mean he doesn't talk to God. It don't mean he don't walk with God. But I don't see Moses telling God I love him. I don't see songs in the Psalms talking about, Lord, I love you. I see songs that talk about God's power. I'm saying that you can make an argument that for a long time the fear was what they had, and you could put need in there because they needed God's power to be victorious. They needed God's power for Jericho to come down. They needed God's power. And he expected their love to be exhibited in their worship and them not worshiping idols. So the whole idolatry thing is about the marriage and about the commitment and about the relationship. And so in a sense, he took worship and sacrifices and offerings as love. And I, okay, I'll make that transition. And we, okay, we can make that exchange rate. But I just, when Elijah battled the prophets of Baal and rebuilt the altar and put the bull up there and put the water on there and called to heaven, I don't see Elijah saying, Lord, I love you. I adore you. And with my whole heart, I will bless you. Lord, I love you. I don't see it. It's Lord, they don't think that we got something going. Show your power. Lord, show that there is a God in Israel. God, show yourself strong. Lord, shake up this thing. Let Lord, send fire down on here and make people a little bit nervous about what you'll do. You got love, need, fear. And I think that, again, I don't want to double talk myself. I'm not saying that one of them isn't enough. But I'm contending that if you can find a way to have all three of these legs, then there's a strength that will be in your relationship with God that you may not have right now. If the only thing you have is that you need God, that's it. You need him. That's all. If you're watching tonight because you need God, you've gotten a bad diagnosis, you need God. They've laid you off on your job, you need God. You don't know how you're going to make it, you need God. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills, you need God. Something's going on with your son, my Lord, help him. You need God. Something's happening with someone that's close to you, you need God. Something's happening in your marriage, you need him. Something's happening in your wife, you need him. Something's happening in your life, you need him. You about to go into a job interview, you need him. You about to apply for grad school, you need him, and you're praying because you need him. I got you, baby, I need him. I got you, but my contention is that if need is all you got, sometimes need is enough. You've come to the point that when he's all you have, you find he's all you need. I've been there where the need drove me to my knees and the need got me someplace. And I got to know him better because I needed him. That's a bit of my story in North Carolina, being in Boston. I knew everybody. Everybody knew me. I knew the mayor. I knew my daddy's the bishop of the city. I'm preaching there since I was 15. For me to know the Lord better, he had to take me to a place that I didn't know nobody and didn't nobody know me. And I leaned on God. The Lord has made me extremely aware of the fact that I'm imperfect because in my weakness, I'm strong. I'll boast all the more about my imperfections. I'll boast all the more about my weaknesses because when I'm weak, I'm strong. Sometimes we wonder why some of the most powerfully used men and women of God are faulted and frail, and we find out things about them, and you got folks trying to research, folks who's trying to spread. Why are they so used? Maybe a part of the reason why they're so used is because they know that in themselves they fail the Lord. That's me. You looking at somebody in myself, I fail the Lord. There's things about me that if you knew from my past and you knew what I thought about and you knew some of the thoughts that was in my mind, I'm so glad y'all can't read my mind. My God, but I need him. I'm not saying that the need won't get the job done. I'm just saying that it might have been nice to love him and fear him before you needed him. It might be nice if the need gets you to love him. And if the need gets you to fear him. Because it's love and fear and need. I've come to the understanding that the love makes fear and need make even more sense. Because I almost might be afraid to tell you I need you, because it's a pattern for how I deal with people. So right now, even in my relationships with people, it's love and it's fear and it's need. But if the other two go away, you at least have to have the love. There was a time when I was afraid of my father, and I needed my father, and I loved my father. Now I'm a grown man. I don't need my daddy really. And I'm not afraid of him really. Not really. I mean, he can still give me a look that make me nervous. But I ain't scared of him, even if it's just a confession. I'm not scared of him. But I love him. So my relationship with him and my care for him and my concern for him is based more on my love for him than my fear of him or my need of him. You gotta have the love. Because just because you need someone don't mean you love them. And just because you're afraid of someone don't mean you love them. I think someone was telling me that Tupac, Tupac said that fear is stronger than love. I don't believe that fear is stronger than love. Love is strong. But I kind of understand what Brother Pac was saying, and I don't mean to call him Brother Tupac. I kind of understand what he's saying, because in a sense, love is almost an option. Love is almost voluntary, where fear is fear. I'm scared of that. There's folk you're just scared of. Fear is fear. When I was watching the whole Tiger King thing, I just was like, my Lord, y'all have lost your mind. I'm scared of tigers. My wife and I and my daughter, we was in Asheville. Pastor Josh joined us, and we was hanging out up there. I saw a bear. Okay, a bear. And they told us, there's bears around here, and they come in and they dig in the trash, and if you see one, and I had read up on what to do if I saw a bear, and I knew, and I hunt, so I was a bit prepared, but when I saw that bear, I was in a situation where it was our last day there. I was throwing stuff in the trash, and I went over to the trash to put something in there, and there was a noise, and when I looked, there was a bear stand. He kind of ran away from me. I slowly backed up away from him because I know that they have an instinct like a dog to chase you. So you're not supposed to run from them. I slowly backed up. And of course, I'm a hunter. So I was a scared, but I wasn't scared. I mean, I was nervous, but I wasn't scared. I was scared. But I was afraid. But I didn't run. I pulled my phone out. He's looking at me. I was probably 15 feet or 12 feet away from him. I'm trying to call First Lady and Kayla, Sean, Kayla, because I wanted them to see the bear. He looked at me. He went up a little bit. Then when he went down, he made a move towards me, and I just took a step backwards. I kept my eyes on him. I just stepped back, slowly walked backwards, till I was up on the porch. By then, they had come out and they're on the porch. They're fear. They're like, oh my Lord, I don't know if you have a choice as to whether or not you're gonna be afraid of a bear or not. You can choose whether or not you love a bear, but you don't choose whether or not you're afraid of a bear. You can choose whether or not you love a shark. I just love sharks. You can choose whether or not you love snakes. I don't know if you have a choice as to whether or not you're scared of snakes. There may be somebody watching, you just love a rat. I don't know. You may have a choice as to whether or not you love a rat. I don't know if you have a choice as to whether or not you're afraid of one. Some people choose fear because there's no choice in the fear. What I'm saying is that love even makes the fear make sense. If I love you and I'm afraid to lose you, then it's going to affect the way I behave. I'm going to carry myself in a different way, not necessarily just because I'm afraid of you, but because I'm afraid of what we've got, and I'm afraid that I might mess it up. And yeah, I may love my job. That may be great, but I'm not going to be late all the time because I'm afraid to lose my job. Well, God has not given us a spirit of fear. I hear you, but there's a certain amount of caution that's connected to wisdom. You ever been around somebody three They have no fear. They have no caution. Try to jump off the top of the jungle gym like they got a death wish. What is that? Their caution is gone. It hasn't developed yet. They're babies. They're immature. The fear of the Lord. But that love makes the fear make sense. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you tonight? I'm contending that my relationship with my wife is a love, need, fear. My condition, her relationship with me is love, need, fear. It's love, fear, need. My relationship with my child and her relationship with me is love, fear, need. And if I'm gonna lose any of them, maybe I may lose the fear and maybe I may lose the need, but I can't lose the love. I would contend that the relationship is going to be stronger if you can hold on to a certain amount of the fear and the need. I've been in that situation in which people are telling me, leaders are telling me, oh, I love you, Pastor Andy, I love you. Pastor Andy, I love you, man. Oh, I love you. And I'm like, okay, I appreciate that. And I accept it and I hear it. But it's kind of interesting how people love you as long as they need you. They're telling you they love you, but really what it is they need you. Then when they don't need you, I can't speak for everybody, but I've had the experience where people get to a point where they start kind of counting and they start doing their math and they start feeling themselves and they get to a place where they figure they don't need you anymore. Once they don't need you, then now we're getting ready to really see if they love you. And my experience has been that people who don't need you sometimes lose that love real quick. And sometimes the only thing that may keep them from doing something grimy towards you is if they have some fear. Woo, God, Lord, probably shouldn't have said that. Part of the reason why they not scared enough. You're like me. I'm like, well, you in God's hands. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And what's more is no matter what has ever happened, no matter what anybody's ever, no matter how anyone's ever disappointed me or betrayed, the Lord is just blessed and taking me to another level. So what can man do to me? It's easy to forgive your Hebrew brothers when you run in Egypt. Joseph named his sons Ephraim and Manasseh. The names mean doubly blessed. God has caused me to forget. Ephraim means doubly blessed. Manasseh means caused me to forget. What you may not realize is that Manasseh is actually older than Ephraim. So Joseph named him Manasseh and said, God has caused me to forget my troubles. And then he named him Ephraim, the second son, saying, wow, I'm doubly blessed. But when they were added to the tribes and when Isaac went to bless them, when Jacob went to bless them, he switched his hands and made Ephraim older than Manasseh, even though Manasseh's, why is that? Because he's saying you get doubly blessed and it causes you to forget. But my point is tonight is you got fear, you got love, you got fear, you got need. Need can be something you can feel funny about if the love isn't clearly established. I know I try to establish the love first, even though if in the back of my mind I know I need. And in the back of my mind I know this person has power to help me. My God. This person has power to help me. This person has a certain amount of power to hurt me. I'm not saying they would hurt me, but they have a certain amount of power. My up relationships are like that. My relationship with my bishop, I've had a relationship with him for a while, but it's an up relationship, and I don't want to talk about it too much because it's my private relationship. But my point is, And what's more, I'm afraid to say it, because his perspective is so much deeper than mine and on a whole nother level than mine, that he might be upset with me for sharing my little sorry revelation. But my point is that when you come into a new relationship, you're trying to get the person to realize that you love them, because you might feel some way about the fact that you need them. And as I think about it, this is why I'm hesitant to say it, because I know people coming in there need. I know from the folks that are in a relationship with me, and need is a part of it. But the need is tempered by that love. That's why Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because love puts a spin on the fear. Love adds a soft, it adds a factor to the need. And the need goes to another level. And the fear goes to a different place when the love is there. I have my children. I know they know I love them. I love my children. And I know that they know I love them. But there's also a little bit of fear in there. It doesn't mean that fear just takes the whole thing over. It just means that with that mix of that love. And as their father, I don't want the fear to be the primary thing. Some of us were raised with parents where fear was all they was trying to establish with us. But our job is to make sure that our children are walking in that nice, healthy, delicate balance of enough love, knowing that love is leading. Sure, they need us. Sure, they've got some fear because they need to respect us and be in awe of us. I don't think you could take these legs away. And I praise God for grace, but don't let it make you lose your fear. And praise God for your education, and praise God for your power, and praise God for you knowing who you are. But don't let that make you lose your need. Understand that I love him and I'm afraid of him and I need him. I need his anointing. I need his power. I need his gifts. I need peace in myself. I need him to reach down on the inside of me and fix my heart. I need him to heal my body. I need him to heal my mind. I need him to heal my child. I need him to heal my marriage. I need him to heal my relationship. I need him to make a door open. I need him to make a way. Yeah, I love him, but I also acknowledge that I need him. God is a God that says, that's right, you can need me because I'm Jireh and I'll provide. Yeah, you can need me because I'm Rapha. What is your name? He says, I am that I am. Whatever you need me to be, I am. And it's a bit of how my love goes. You love me and you trust me and you have faith in me and you need me and you fear me. You're careful about what you say because you fear me. Since Paul says, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Since we know what it is to fear the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. I try to persuade men because I know that God is sovereign. And I love him and I need him. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we need you. We need you. Every hour we need you. God, we love you. We adore you. And with our whole hearts, we bless you. Thank you, God, for your power. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the wisdom that comes from the scriptures. Thank you for the wisdom that comes into the hearts and minds of men and women, so that we can have a clear understanding of who you are. Thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Thank you that your hand is on us for good right now. Now, God, as we walk in relationship with you, teach us how to worship you. That's love to you. Teach us how to sacrifice. That's love to you. Teach us how to serve. That's love to you. Teach us how to love one another. That's love to you. We've learned fear and we We acknowledge that we need you, but God, we want to love you. And Holy Spirit, rest on us and empower us. In our faults, fix us. In our difficult place, heal us and use us. I promise to praise you for what you do. You're worthy in Jesus' name. We all sit together. Amen. So glad you're with us tonight. Trust you heard a word. Wednesday nights, we're right here. Sunday mornings, we're back on stage in the main campus, in the main location. Sunday mornings, worship and word. We want to see you there. And wherever you may be watching from, let us know. And if you missed the beginning and you didn't get a chance to give, you can always give. It's on the screens. And if you didn't feel prompted to give until right now, then you can give and it shall be given unto you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. I'm not going to beg you and ask you for money, but if you're looking for an opportunity to be generous, this is that opportunity. You sow into the word and you'll reap a harvest from the word. You reap what you sow. You reap where you sow. You reap more than you sow. So if you hear a word, you sow into that word, you will reap from that word. You want to reap a harvest from a relationship with God. I know I do. I know I have. And I want to make sure that everything is right with me and God. And so we're glad you're with us tonight. And I can't wait to see you again. Never forget this. Never forget. I'm saying it every Wednesday night. It's just powerful. This is the victory. This is 1 John 5. This is the victory. Who is it that overcomes the world? This is the victory. Everyone that believes overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. See you next time.